Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Congresswoman Marie Gluzin-Camprez. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Brittany.
You, along with a handful of Democrats, released a statement earlier this week that in part called for President Biden and Congress to, quote, bring order to the southern border. Can you talk about that for us?
Yeah, you know, it's great that we were able to pass the National Security Supplemental and get lethal aid to Ukraine to stop Putin's aggression, but we don't have national security without border security. And in rural communities like mine, we have seen just the real damage from fentanyl. People are dying. We have got to stop the cartels. We've got to stop the flow of fentanyl. We've got to have operational control of our southern border. People are dying. We can't afford to wait around for whatever political, you know, favor people think they're going to get. My community is demanding action right now, and it's my responsibility to represent that.
Let's talk about what your constituents are saying about this. Immigration and border security continue to be top issues facing Americans. It sounds like it's top issues facing the constituents in your district. What are they saying?
Well, you know, fentanyl is so corrosive to so many of the communities and neighborhoods I know. I mean, you don't really have to talk to very many people before you start hearing very personal stories about it. The other day I was dropping off some stuff at Goodwill, which is like a thrift store we have here. And within 5 minutes of being in a city, I saw somebody smoking fentanyl. I had my 16-year-old niece with me. I mean, no family wants to experience that. It is so corrosive, and it's time to act now. You know, the president has existing authority, you know, and Congress needs to act to empower some of his former authority that was taken away by the Supreme Court. You know, people really like to position Trump as having designed a lot of these policies like Title 42 or Remain in Mexico. But if you look back, that is an existing authority. And we have got to give our border security agents the authority they need to keep our communities safe.
What would you want Congress and President Biden and the Biden administration in general to do right now?
Well, Congress needs to act to, as I said, support President Biden, reestablish the authority that was existed under COVID to have processing in Mexico. But we also need to get things done as a body. I mean, so many Americans agree with us, the strong majority, and it is wild to me that you could see H.R. 3602 pass with a strong majority in Congress and still not become law. You've got, you know, extremists using inside baseball to stop real progress, and American families are paying the price.
You were one of the five Democrats to vote yes for H.R. 3602. Can you talk about that vote and what that meant?
Yeah, so, you know, also previously, I voted to create one of the highest levels of staffing for Border Patrol, and that became law. So we know that there's a real demand and a real need to support our agents, but we had seen so much partisan infighting and, you know, candidly, a lot of politicians just fundraising off the crisis at the southern border. This is a humanitarian crisis. It's unconscionable to use it in that way as a football when so many families are suffering. And being able to come together to negotiate in good faith, that is what my community wants to see out of their elected representatives.
To your point about immigration, border security being used as a political football, right now we are in an election year. Do you think there's going to be any meaningful legislation passed when it comes to the border between now and November?
I mean, we've seen, you know, extremists try to stop it, to try to, you know, get all the credit for themselves, you know, for their party, for their team. That is morally wrong. And I've seen recently Speaker Johnson have some real courage of character in bringing forward legislation that he knows is the right thing to do. I'm hopeful that we'll come back in a session and have that same spirit of courage to really start solving problems and regain operational control of the southern border. But I am a freshman in the minority, so it is important for me to demonstrate and to build a coalition of Democrats who are invested in border security. That's the work that I can do, committed to stay at the and operate in faith.
How have those conversations with Democrats been going? Because you, like I said, were one of five to sign on to this statement. Do other Democrats who didn't sign on feel similarly to you?
So many of the Democrats that joined me are from rural communities where we've seen a real ravaging, or from working class communities, from the trades, like me. And so I think that perspective is really valuable in motivating people to come to the table and put their shoulder behind the wheel. But we're also, many of us are from very agricultural economies. So we have to come to the table and support policies that would not harm our agricultural communities. 40% of the fresh fruits and vegetables we consume in America are imported. So anything that damages our farmers or our producers or leads to more consolidation is a non-starter for us. That said, you know, Vicente Gonzalez, who was one of the leaders on this, he's from a border district. Like, he sees it all the time. And having conversations with him, you know, having him talk with his colleagues on both sides of the aisle, this is how we get progress made.
Has President Biden, the Biden administration, or other members of Congress responded at all to your statement?
He hasn't responded to our statement. You know, we saw him mention something about, we'll get to the border security later. That's not acceptable. We need action now. We need Congress to empower the president. We need the president to exercise his full authority to address the crisis now, not later, not someday, now.
I've had the opportunity, rather, to talk to members of both sides of the aisle. Everyone has said there is a crisis at the southern border. Obviously, the solutions, how to fix it, really differ based on party. Where can you see yourself working across the aisle for a tangible solution?
Well, things that are about support for nuanced solutions, and that's why it's important that we are staffing Border Patrol agents appropriately and giving them the budgets they need to make decisions on a up-close level.
Earlier this year, Donald Trump, as well as some House Republicans, were blamed for spiking that bipartisan border bill. Also, under the Biden administration, there have been record-high border crossings. Since the Biden administration is in charge now, what do you think they're not getting right when it comes to border policy?
Well, I think in many cases, it's like waiting for the perfect solution and letting perfect be the enemy of good. You know, there's this idea of sort of the invisible graveyard, or the idea that like you're not seeing the full damage of inaction. And it's impossible to ignore in communities like mine. You know, I talked about going to Goodwill, but similarly, like just the levels of crime, the levels of theft, levels of, you know, we see a lot of just abandoned RVs or folks that are just deep in addiction, and having the resources to get support and get out of that, and being able to stem the flow of fentanyl, curtail the power and just the money that a lot of these cartels are generating. This is things that demand action now.
In my conversations with members of Congress, they have said every state is a border state. And this is obviously a national conversation. What do you think is missing from that national dialogue?
I think it is important that members, I have sometimes felt like my colleagues might be sort of insulated and not seeing the impacts up close and personal. I have been in Congress for about a year and a half now, and one of the frustrating things I've seen is when they can't actually pass legislation or it's politically challenging to do that, they'll just get funding for a study, and they'll just study something to death and just get all this data. And those numbers represent real suffering, and we don't have time to wait. I mean, it's a persistent problem right now.
And do you think there will be a solution right now? Or do you think, like I said earlier, this is a political football, like you said, that will just move down the line until there's potentially a new president or just the presidential election?
Well, I'm hopeful that we'll see my colleagues will continue to show up and keep trying and keep pushing. I mean, it is very interesting to me to see other Democrats join me and sit down at the table and say, hey, we're here, and to call for a real action now. So many people are pivoting away from this because it's challenging. I think it is very interesting that you are now seeing other Democrats from communities like mine showing persistence, even when we're in the minority, to get legislation passed.
In reporting that described this statement, you were described as a centrist Democrat. This group was described as a centrist Democrats. Do you think we could see more progressive Democrats joining this fight, joining your fight?
Well, I hope so. I mean, our job is to try. And, you know, I think that at times the sort of binary of left-right is sort of broken. I think that actually these issues are much more three-dimensional up close and in person. And so that is part of my work, is to make this real and tangible to my colleagues who might not have the same experience that I've seen. I own an auto repair and a machine shop with my husband. And so just seeing the poverty and the desperation that fentanyl brings to communities, we can't wait. And I don't think this needs to be a left versus right issue. I think what we need is incremental action to regain operational control. I mean, countries have a right and an obligation to have a secure border. That is not a novel concept.
Congresswoman, I really appreciate the time today. I appreciate the conversation. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much, Brittany. I really appreciate your time here.